Hello and welcome to Start Sit Cut, our beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Max Core. Join me as always. I never stopped believing in Zach Wilson. It's Jason Waterfalls, the one man left who believed he's got that dog in him still, you know?
Do you remember when I had, you know, the world's coldest take of when he was playing well? I was like, what if this is a thing? And then 1 week later, I was like, I'm out fully.
Look, I don't mean this in a negative way. You do seem like someone who, when he was drafted, was like, this kid, he's going to be lights out.
You know? I understand what you're saying, and I'm not going to take that as a shot at me, even though it blatantly is. And I appreciate that you said, with all due respect at the beginning of that, I was not. I was absolutely not. Because everything about him being drafted was that one throw in his pro day. That was it.
It was a nice throw, you know, but Jamarcus Russell has some nice throws too. Look, I'll tell you, I'm a simple man. You know, I like a good ribeye. I enjoy some nice bourbon. I like the sound of the rain. When the quarterback you're wanting me to consider has never been voted captain of his team, I'm out, you know, and maybe I'm going to miss on some big deal prospects, but I like to keep my life simple. And when this person cannot capture the respect of a lot of people and the sport has engineered him to be able to do that, I just, that's my red flag. And I feel basic, but I think that's true.
When I'm put in a position that I would take Baker Mayfield 7 days a week over Zach Wilson, then I just know, you know, that tells me everything I need to know right there.
Yeah. I mean, I really think there's something to, there's like the zombie apocalypse test where it's like, if you're in a basement with someone and you got to get out and survive the zombies and get to like a bunker, who do you trust to lead you? And you just line these quarterback prospects up, ask a couple questions, get a sense. I'm going with Baker. Doesn't mean we're going to live. You know, the Bucks aren't thriving. Okay. But I'm getting out of the basement, and Zach's not getting me out of the basement, unfortunately. Or is he now? Has he figured it out? You know,
that the Colts Bucks game, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? It was really fun. Anyways, I have to say this with all due respect. I can't stand Zach Wilson. That being said, he played.
You can't stand him? Why can't you stand him?
Because what's he good at? Like, he's such a flash in a pan. Now, my last part of that was he played really well yesterday.
He did.
Really well.
He did. Now, look.
Not Zach Wilson well, like starting quarterback in the NFL well. Just yesterday. Let's keep this bottled where it is supposed to be.
Look, he seems like a guy who's like, man, I just wish I wasn't a quarterback. You know, whoever leaked the report that they were like, hey, Zach, we're going to start you. And he was like, I think I'm good. They did him dirty. Like, he did himself dirty. But I can't believe I'm going to say this, but just go with me. There's a little bit of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to him where it's like, I know, but where he's like, man, I don't want to do this. I hate basketball. I just want to be like a thinker and an artist. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was that, and he is that now. And he's also great at basketball. Zach is not good at football. But it just seems like he wants to be like a frat boy. But unfortunately, he has to play NFL football and he hates it so much. You know,
it seems like he wants to be like a Boca Raton boy or something. Like he's not even like super Chad. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's more Brad, I guess. But I don't know, man. He was very, very good yesterday. And to your Kareem Abdul-Jabbar thing, I had no idea where that was headed and you landed it. So kudos to you.
Thank you. I don't know that it landed. It crashed, but it's on the ground. I don't know what kind of condition. I had an idea. You said Chad or Brad. I want to do like some kind of like category breakdown, like Chad, Brad, or Dad, you know? And like, I don't know what that is, but I just want to figure that out eventually.
Chad, but Brad, Dad, or just sad.
I like that. That's better. I'm going to write that down. It does seem like he just wants to be like a golf pro, you know, in Florida.
You know what he wants
older
to be?
Older women, younger women, whatever. He's just got a good life.
He plays angry because the Arena Football League doesn't exist. Cause that's all he wanted. Indoors, just launch the ball every single time.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Like he just wanted to be the best, not NFL quarterback, XFL, USFL, Arena, any of these.
Maybe his destiny was to be the greatest intramural flag football quarterback of all time. And he got promoted beyond his means. And now he's in the NFL. He's like, I just don't want to do this. I just want to play two-hand touch. You know,
that's and it. Maybe it's just dodgeball. Maybe it's not even flag football. Maybe that's what his destiny was this entire time.
He's got a rocket. Kid's got a rocket. Jason, what's good, man? How we doing?
I'm doing well, man. It was a good weekend of football. It was a good weekend of went for a long hike.
Oh,
legs are really hurting. So yeah, it's a good weekend.
Okay, can I ask a question? I hear a lot of people talk about hikes, and my curiosity is when because I think when you say the H word, to me you can't say the H word unless you're in mountains and you're going elevation up. I do think some people abuse that word and they just went on a walk and there was like a hill or two and they call it a hike. So what do you observe and what's the decorum with language here?
If you leave from your house and you're not going into like a park or a reserve or something, it's not a hike in my opinion. So okay. I'm with you on that. However, we don't really have what you might put in quotes mountains in Indianapolis. Sure. Or in you Indiana. Don't.
Yeah.
But I did go to a state park.
Okay.
And trekked through the woods and whatnot. So I would, and there's hills, very, very, not big hills, but there was hills. So I would count that as and I was on a path.
Okay.
So I would call that a hike.
Oh, those are all hikes. Those are all hike qualifications. I think we blame hitchhikers because people see that and they're like, they're just walking down the interstate and they're hiking. Well, if I'm walking in my suburb or my subdivision, I'm also hiking. And it just doesn't feel right. You know?
Do you have a backpack like with a belt attachment on it? I'd love to see you get into that.
Of course I do. I've thought about putting weights in it, you know, trying to do some uphills, stuff like that. Real punishing things. I do want to say I got a little self-conscious yesterday, got a little jealous yesterday because I don't know what happened, but my DraftKings app starts doing push notifications now. I didn't control that. It just decided on its own, became like autonomous and is telling me every time everyone bets. And I saw Andre, man. And there was one, it was like, you and Andre's name, like have placed 20 bets in the last 30 seconds. And I was like,
most of those were Andre. I would believe.
I don't know. I was like, do I check on them? Do I reassess myself? Am I not doing enough? Like what's the move here? What do I do?
Yeah. So I did not have the best gambling weekend,
okay.
But Saturday night, and this is my start. My start is the Pacers making it to the in-season tournament championship game. Going through Boston, going through Milwaukee, me putting $5 on them to back in early November for them to win the in-season tournament at +3,300. So $5
did you cash
almost.
Out?
No, I did not. I
did you get
not
the option cash out?
I did. I had an option. I did not cash out. So
is this? Let me ask you a question. Is there a philosophy here of like, are you so? Because like you and Andre feel like people who you're just not going to cash out. You won't take like you're like I made the bet. I'm going to ride or die with it.
Well, I did not want to cash out before the game, and I had an option for a pretty low cash out. But then during the game, the cash out went away because they during the championship game Saturday night, the cash out went away. So sure. Then I was just writing it at that point. If there's an elite cash out available, like if the Pacers would have gone up like 10 in the first half, and it was a good cash out, yes, I'm very open to taking that option. But they did not, and LeBron wanted that tournament win, and he went ahead and him and AD. Especially AD, got it. But the start is to the Pacers. This team is awesome. They're super young. They play hard. Maybe they need some better defense, but Haliburton is the real deal. And I really, really, really love this team. And I thought it was really fun how they pushed through the Celtics and the Bucks to get to the tournament. And to me, the in-season tournament is a win. I think it's going to be better next year because now it's a little bit easier to understand.
Sure.
And it all happened kind of quickly. And it's, you know, it's December 11th and this thing was over by December 9th. That was a little bit confusing, but to me it was very fun and I get it now and I'm excited for next year.
I know people and we've talked about this. I know people hate it on the courts, but that was the smartest thing because when I flipped the game on, I knew what it is. Is this regular season or is this in tournament? I love that. How close are we to, I don't know, buying a Haliburton jersey? Are we thinking about
I bought my son a Toby, an Obi Toppin jersey. He thought
for a second, I thought you were going to tell me Tobey Maguire, and I was like, I have so many questions already with this.
It'd be like a black jersey with black writing from Spider-Man 3 when he's all emo.
I hated it so much.
It's my son thought that Obi Toppin was the best player on the team, and that's why he wanted an Obi Toppin jersey. And I was
he pops off the screen,
but that's okay.
That's okay. You know, that's how you learn bad taste before you can learn good taste, right? No offense.
But ever since Obi Toppin played at Dayton and they played. So my kids, their entire lives, we've been saying, ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. We've been saying that since they were, you know, like this is like 5-6 years ago and they're 9. So,
hey, look, I think you were witness to this. I had a big, big Jeremy Shockey era. And I was like 25. So, you know,
I think I was witness to that.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Do you think, no sources, no information, haven't seen this anywhere, LeBron was really motivated. Like, really motivated. Do you think, because I know winning team, everyone gets 500,000. Is that, I think that's the number. So that's good. That's a lot of money. LeBron's making like, what, 40 mil a year? So it's not like he's like, this is generational money. This is life-changing money. Part of me wonders if, because there's long been a buzz that the NBA is going to go to Vegas, expansion team. LeBron, when he retires, is going to be some kind of ownership. Part of me wonders if they're like, hey, we had you at a 3%. You win this first tournament, really help us get it off the ground. We're going to put you at a 8% or something like that. Do you think anything could be in the mix like that for him?
I mean, who is the owner that's giving him that extra 5%? Because I don't think the NBA is just handing that out. Sure. However, yes, in the theoretical of the fully sourced information, I definitely agree. And the more bought in he was, the more credibility and excitement it had around it. But the games for the in-season tournament within like the qualifying, the group stage, and in the little mini playoff thing, they were really, really good games.
Yeah.
And I think that helped as well. And not just on the LeBron side, but yes, he played really hard, but he is so freaking calculated that he just wanted his name. And he even said it, he admitted it fully. He was like, I wanted to win the first one.
Yeah.
Smart. There's only one.
I never thought about that. I never thought about that aspect of motivating. I think these are competitive people, so they're going to be competitive in competitive situations, which makes sense. There's also conspiracy knocks. He told me, he's not here, but he told me, he was like, have you been reading about this gambling scandal happening right now? And I was like, no. And he was like, yeah. Do you remember Yasiel Puig for the Dodgers? Played for the Lookouts here in Chattanooga. Got a ticket. I think he was going like 145 in a 40. So, you know, that's not good. But it's a long story, but he is being charged. He's going to trial about gambling with this kind of like a sketchy bookie guy. But all these other athletes have been implicated. A lot of LeBron's management team has been implicated, making off the bet books, Maverick Carter, among others. So Conspiracy Knox was like, what if LeBron only cared about this to get that out of the news? What about that? And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think that's a good one. So, you know, I just wanted to let you know about that one, though.
And we think that the NBA in Vegas and the NFL in Vegas and now the A's going to Vegas, all this is going to go down, right? This is definitely not going to compound and become even more gambling situations.
Look, I think everything will be fine unless the Raiders score 0 points again. All hell will break loose. It's like you just have to score points. I was like, what godforsaken event happened to where only 3 points were scored in this game? And why didn't everyone get a refund for watching that? What a miraculous, horrific situation.
That being said, it got closer to the end of the game. And my son and I were like, come on, 0-0 all the way through overtime, please. It got kind of pessimistically exciting.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I only want bad things to continue happening in this game so that it gets completely out of hand.
See, I guess I'm a better person than you because the cutaways to Antonio Pierce's face where he looked like Tom Hanks in Castaway after realizing that Helen Hunt's moved on. I was like, this man's been through enough.
Antonio Pierce had like 3 players only meetings with the coaches and the players. You know what I mean? Like during the game.
Yeah. Something tells me he's not going to get the interim, but who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
He was like, what is happening out there? Am I watching the same game that you all are playing? What is happening?
It's tough. It's tough. Speaking of the NFL, I'm going to start the Chiefs this week because the Chiefs lost to the Buffalo Bills and your boy, Josh Allen. Pretty good game. I don't think it's the most exciting game I've ever seen, but competitive, tight. The Bills felt in control of all that game. It felt like they were going to give it up, but they pulled it out. But mainly, I want to start them because I want to be honest with you. I've maybe for the last like 18 months, I've held the feeling that I think the Chiefs suck, and I kind of hate them. But it didn't feel like something I could say. It felt
you have alluded to it.
Well, but
then you always just keep going back to I can't bet against them. I just can't do it.
I mean, they punished me.
You've been wanting to though.
Part of it was some residual resentment for what they did to me in the Super Bowl. But part of it's like I think I don't like them just objectively, and they're annoying. And this season with the Taylor Swift storyline, it's felt like so much. I think honestly, the Patrick Mahomes quarterback performance, whereas like this guy's kind of annoying, you know? His wife's definitely annoying. They feel like people who are very happy with their status in the world. But I was like, hey, you're probably just like, you've got like the Tom Brady defensiveness. So you just got to put this away. I feel like this game, the way they lost, the complete tantrum he threw, even yes. to the point of really a Bush League handshake to Josh Allen, where Josh, yes. I feel like if Josh had lost, I feel like most quarterbacks, they lost, sucks. Hey, bro, love you, man. Good luck. Hope to see you in the playoffs. Handled it like a class act. He didn't. He looked that, what a terrible look for him. And then he continued going on in the press conference about how bad the call was, which, oh, by the way, it was a good call. It was actually the right call. Even if it had been a bad call, I would understand the frustration, but it's like there's a time and a place to vent that frustration. But when the call is correct, it just, you look ridiculous, man. So I'm glad, I feel a little vindicated. What do you think about that?
I want to be very, very clear right now. This has nothing to do with Andy Reid, correct? When you say the Chiefs, this is more a Mahomes take. Do not.
I agree with you. I feel like
not take Andy Reid down with this.
If he's coaching Zach Wilson, Josh Dobbs, Jim Everett, Buddy Garrity, he's the same. He's always the same.
Chris Everett.
Forever. Don't call him Chris Everett. He's always the same. But I feel like this is really some of the periphery stuff. And I feel like part of it's when you're this good for this long, eventually you become, you know, you live long enough, but you become the villain. And I feel like this was the inflection point where we're going to be like, oh, I think they suck. I think they're super annoying and they suck. You know,
I have a little bit of a different take here, and it's Andy Reid is still incredible.
Yeah.
It's Travis Kelce is overexposed. He finally got the exposure that he's been looking for years. He did that, you know, dating show. He's tried various things to get in the spotlight. Turns out having a real relationship with the biggest, probably the biggest artist in the entire planet,
yeah,
is a good way to do that.
He should have just done that first, probably. That would have been my advice.
I mean, yeah. What was Madonna up to?
Yeah.
He probably still could do that if he wanted to.
Yeah.
I think that this was a Mahomes snap situation. And I think we have to give Mahomes credit, even through the quarterback thing. He looked a little bit annoying, but like I think that also showed that he does work really, really hard. It's not just his natural arm talent that is making all this happen. Mm. I think that he gets credit in a LeBron way, that the decision was something that everyone just absolutely hated out of LeBron, but he really hadn't made any other missteps to that point.
Yeah.
Now, everybody can hate LeBron as much as you'd like to, sports hate. But Mahomes hasn't really done anything other than be married to somebody that maybe we don't have a lot of positive things to say
sure.
about.
Yeah.
But, you know, we won't go too far on that one. But he lost his freaking mind about a call that was obviously the right call. And to take it, to scream like that, to throw your helmet, fine, that's fine. All these things individually, to like be a competitor when talking to Josh, and you know, like he was just talking about that play the entire time instead of just saying good game or this sucks or yeah, like hey, you got me this time or anything.
Yeah.
Like, but all of these things combine into this giant tantrum from him, and him like accosting the league and saying how terrible this is and everything. Like, he's made it this long without snapping and having this much publicity over the last however many years, 4 or 5 years. I got to say, I give him a pass this time. If it continues even into next week, it's no good. However, What if the trueness is starting to shine through?
It's a good question. And I think to me, I don't want to overreact to like, you know, he had a bad night. He did something wrong, whatever. I feel like how he handles it after will be interesting. Because if he comes out today, he's like, I lost my mind. I'm so competitive and it pissed me off. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I get it. I wonder if, and part of this was, and again, I'm taking this off quarterback, which it's a show that gets edited to heighten things. So it's not fair to do this, but there seemed to be a, I think an unawareness of his stature and status where I think, and I think it's a growing pain of the greatest, you know, in the sport where you have to realize how everybody looks at you. And how you handle yourself informs a lot, and not just like kids are watching, but there's a much bigness to your demeanor and your interactions, and not just like you're an ambassador for the game, but I don't know. It feels like there has been a lack of awareness of like the swagger he carries. Someone I feel like always handled this in the best way. I think LeBron's a great example because even his worst thing, I think he still raised like $4 million for the Boys Club, you know, but that was a vanity. I'm doing this, right? I think Steph Curry has always been great at this of he, and I think even to a different point, he's never, it took a long time for him to get the respect he deserved. It was always like, he's too small. He doesn't play defense. He just has a loaded team and he never flipped out. He never, I feel like he always took it seriously, like how he comes across and how he interacts with people. And so I think that's what was so frustrating about this is like, dog, you're Patrick Mahomes. You're bulletproof forever. If you guys fail, it's not your fault. It's everybody else's fault. So I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe I'm just like pouncing on a thing that shouldn't be pounced on, but it was weird. It was jarring.
It was extremely jarring. But think about this. A year ago, 18 months ago, a year ago, it's kind of the same timeline that you're talking about. Quarterback hadn't come out. The stuff with his brother hadn't come out. The Taylor Swift Kelsey relationship wasn't happening. Like this thing was like, I don't know what it's called, supply and demand curve, whatever, where it just shoots up, right? Like it's kind of going slowly and then it just, you know, and it's rising for sure. His star was rising, but now everything in the sports world is like NFL is surrounds him. And I think it just got to the point where it was just too much. And
it's real.
I think that can be extremely hard to deal with all this going on.
You're not wrong. And it's football, fame, whatever, success. When all you are surrounded by is evidence of your success and your greatness, it's hard to maintain a perspective. Even like the stuff in quarterback, where it's like after the game, everyone comes back to the house and he talks about like all the cool plays in the game. I don't know, man. It's probably a really head spinning thing right now for him to wrap his mind around how wealthy he is, how successful he is, how important he is, how famous he is, how great he is. And it would be hard to have someone in your inner circle be like, yo, actually, like, you're not that great. You suck today. Like, you need to get better at this. I was hoping his dad would do it because his dad was like the coolest guy on that show, to be honest with you. But yeah, I don't know, man. It didn't look great. And I'm wondering if this is, I mean, I don't know if people are talking about the Taylor Swift curse the Chiefs, but that's going to be a story. That's a Stephen A.
No, she didn't curse the Chiefs. She's won like when she's been.
But it's a Stephen A take, you know?
Okay, now here's the Stephen A take. Let's go to a different angle on this. This is the team that freaking did a ring around the rosy play in an actual live football game. I blame Travis Kelce for doing the coolest thing we've ever seen. And this is a little hyperbole, but it's probably top five. Doing the coolest thing we've ever seen on a football field for no apparent reason when he already had a very positive play. Through the perfect spiral back to Tony. Tony caught it, which he has a huge problem with catching passes.
And I think that led.
This is from a team that does a ring around the rosy play to see if it could work. They had this play happen and it was almost swatted and it wasn't. And then it just gets erased from the history books. I think on the field, none of this off the field stuff has any impact on Patrick Mahomes at all. And this play being eradicated absolutely made him lose his mind. And it's all he cares about is this play being an actual play in the books and not a penalty wiped away.
It could be on like the highlight reel forever and ever and ever. I would respect it more if he was like, look, was the offsides a half inch? Yes. Did it change the game or the play? No. Is it a point where the play is so cool that you don't call a penalty? Yes. That's my argument right now. It's so cool that you disallow the penalty.
It's so cool. And you know what else is cool? And let me be very clear. Travis did a great job. But you know what else is cool? Tony caught the ball. We can't erase that from history.
I would like if the NFL was like, look, we are now going to enact a rule where if there's holding on a play, but the play is really freaking awesome, and we'll bring all the officials, and it has to be a 3/4 majority, if they all vote that the play was so cool that we don't count the penalty, we'll allow the play to stand. I would love that. That'd be amazing.
It's this play, and then there was like, I think it was a Dolphins a few years ago, where the big man did a play and then like did a flip, but then there was a holding or whatever, so it had to come back, but it was like, oh my gosh, that's an incredible play.
You know why that works? It's because... It raises, I think a big problem with the season is the play is not really interesting and you got some quarterbacks who shouldn't be out there. So it's kind of tough. It's a tough offensive product. But if you, and I know they're never going to do this, but this is just a thought experiment. If you did this, it would raise the risk profile of teams to do super cool stuff. and also commit penalties that are really violent to put it on the refs to be like, you know, and do like a card reveal, like it stands, and the crowd will go nuts. It'll be televised. It'll be awesome. That's what I'd rather watch instead of like super slow-mo replay, you know?
I mean, this is the equivalent of when we used to play Madden or 2K mm-hmm. together, we would turn offsides off. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. I mean, is that blatant cheating? Sure. Yeah. But like now we don't have to deal with that crappy penalty anymore. And we could just be behind the line of scrimmage already standing next to the quarterback when the ball is hiked.
Which is more fun. Not an official calling 5-yard penalty like every 10 minutes, right? Like, come on.
Figure it out. Not my problem.
What are you sitting this week?
This week I'm sitting the Heisman Trophy. Oh. I feel bad that we cashed that money. And I'm not sitting us. Sure. I'm sitting the Heisman Trophy. Did you watch the ceremony this year?
No, I haven't watched it in a few years. Some of it's busyness, but some of it's like, this is a 10-minute show. You know, that's what I need to watch.
I don't know why, but I thought Jaden Daniels was going to win. I thought he should win. We bet on it when it was like around plus 450 mm-hmm. or something, like 350, 450. I had no interest in checking in on this at all. And I don't know why. I like Michael Penix. Bo Nix has done a lot of stuff. Yeah. For Oregon this year that we have to respect, even if he's not our favoritest player. And Jaden Daniels completely like had incredible statistics this year. I had no interest in watching the ceremony.
No.
I want them to figure out a new way to present.
I have the idea. And I just want to say too, I'm not ready to talk about Bo Nix yet because of, I really took it personally how he let Washington beat them twice. And I was verbally, emotionally, professionally so invested in Oregon. I'm thinking about making Bo Nix, naming him one of my pallbearers, so when I die, he can let me down one more time, you know, for all time's sake.
Oh my gosh.
Just because.
Oh my gosh, come on.
I'm not ready.
That's so dramatic.
But I think, here's my idea. I used to watch this, and I think it's interesting because you're calling attention to coaches and players, and that's cool. It reminded me a lot of like the Oscars, but if it was only best picture or best director. So my thought would be, let's go, you know, we still have the Heisman, but we come up with awards for each position, you know, running back, offensive line.
They exist.
Wide receiver.
I know. They handed them out the night before.
But like, let's formalize it. Let's make it more special. Let's have the fraternity of people up there. Start it now. You know, we can really cut, because, you know, there's multiple awards, like there's Golden Globes, there's Oscars. We make it really embedded into the historicity of the thing. Because I think the coolest part about the Heisman is the fraternity of guys that show up, and I get to look
stand behind them.
Because I think I text y'all. I see Charlie Ward, who looks amazing, looks incredible, and I see Gino Toretta, who looks like he died 6 years ago. And those guys were in college at the same time, and I don't understand that, but that's fun to look at. Eric Crouch is never not going to be at the Heisman Trophy celebration because he's got nothing else to do. I think he was there the year after he won, and like the 3 years after he won, because he's like, I'm not playing. I'm always going to be here. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. But I think, like, let's get all the centers, you know, let's get all the defensive tackles. I want to see Vince Wilfork, you know, or whoever. I think that would be a way more interesting product to blow out.
I love that. So it's like a Heisman per position, right? So you have the regular awards, yeah. Which is already like the craziest thing to me. I don't really understand how this happens because Michael Penix won the AP player of the right. year. And then didn't win the Heisman.
It's like, so we just have the same voters, I'm guessing, voting on this. But wait, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I like this a lot.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
What are you sitting this?
I'm going to sit Sean McDermott. A lot of people talked about this. Obviously, he it came out, I think, 2019. He was trying to motivate the team, and he was like, look, what are some great examples of teamwork? The Oompa Loompas and Wonka, great teamwork. The terrorists who
did he use that one?
But it felt like he
okay.
It felt like the same kind of vein of what he's doing.
Oh my gosh!
But him saying that the terrorists in 9/11, he was like, now do we like what they did? No, of course not. But that did they do a great job? They did, objectively.
Did they work together as a team?
And look, I'll say this: I'm obviously, the comments are stupid, so that's dumb. I found myself in a situation before. You're trying to make like a comedy show or podcast or have a funny conversation, and sometimes you want to walk into some spin zones you shouldn't, just to make a point. I've never walked into one like that, but I can understand how you can talk yourself
into it. I
didn't
know where this was headed. You're like, I get it.
Finger was
on
the mute button.
I get it. Here's a couple of examples that I've said in the past.
Who are some people who are overrated from history that you should never say that about? No, but I think the bigger thing is, so this happened in 2019, which is not this year. It came out in this year. Why is it? I want to do Brian Windhorst hands. How do I connect the dots of why this came out right now in front of the Chiefs game, which could have given us cause to fire him or make people understand why we want to fire him if he does get fired? That's the more interesting thing, is sitting maybe his future in Buffalo, probably.
Not only, yes, I totally agree. And not only does his future in Buffalo, here's what I want. If this leaks, okay, you get to like package it up. You get to package up a little video or package up pictures, the evidence for X number of weeks, right? And it's probably like 26 weeks, like half a year. Yeah. And then who leaked it, why they leaked it, and who they leaked it to comes out. And we can, and then just year round, we just have these packages that get exposed year round, because whoever leaked this has a clear agenda to be done with Sean McDermott as the coach of the Buffalo Bills.
Look,
and guess what? Then he goes out and beats the Chiefs, and now you screwed yourself, dude. Yeah. Because the players like him. You played yourself.
If they flame out,
that's where this one in 26 weeks it gets exposed, and then we find out who played themselves.
I kind of do like that thing of like, it's a little bit of, you know, I'm all in, you're all in. And if I leak this and you actually like save the season and everyone gets on your side, now you have to get fired. Now I get to leak stuff on you. You know, that's kind of fun. I like that idea. Okay. What are you cutting this week?
I'm cutting the Cowboys.
Oh,
they're really good. It's making me annoyed.
Oh, okay.
Dak is extremely good. I cannot believe this run that they're on. And they non-ironically look extremely good at football.
They do.
All the way around. And even, I don't think Diggs was even back yesterday. I don't know what his timetable is, but Bland is incredible. Tony Pollard, still incredible. CeeDee Lamb, incredible. Dak is playing incredible. Does it last? Does it last into the postseason? I don't know. Is Dak the new Peyton Manning? Really, really good in the regular season? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you have to give them credit right now. And I cannot believe that they just beat the Eagles. I am perplexed by that.
Number one, I think Peyton Manning just threw up a little bit in his mouth and he doesn't know why. He's like, why did I just throw up? Did someone say something about me and Dak? Did someone make a comparison? That's weird. I think you're right. I think they're really good. I also think the Eagles are on the descent, just injuries, defense isn't looking good. So caught him at a good time. You know, I feel like Dak has a little Bo Nix in him, and fool me once, shame on someone, and fool me twice, shame on another person. Probably. I'm not going to fall.
Now watch me go hit this draft.
I know he's the betting favorite for MVP. I will pay to be wrong on that, because I want to see it before I believe it. I still got my Brock Purdy MVP monies put down, and I gotta be honest, that'll be the most, I feel the weirdest to cash, because I'll be like, this is not true, but I will take the money. You know what I mean?
The Brock Purdy.
It'll just feel weird.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not the most valuable. I don't know, to be honest. The Niners are just really good. That said, do you think the Cowboys just boat race the Eagles? The Niners just boat race the Eagles. I don't think the Eagles are in the you know, top consideration for NFC. How do you square the Niners and the Cowboys? Like, what's the differentiation for you?
I still think it's the Niners. I really do. And, you know, they already beat the Cowboys this year pretty handily. Mm-hmm. But since then, the Cowboys have been pretty much on a tear, except for that they lost to the Eagles earlier in the season. I'd still take the Niners. I think that, fingers crossed for absolutely everybody involved, including us. And this is not just a hate the Cowboys segment. We're trying to give them credit. But if you don't like the Cowboys, you hate the Cowboys, right? Sort of a thing. If the Niners stay healthy, let me turn it into a question. Will the Niners please stay healthy? Yeah. I want to see what they can do when healthy. And I just don't know if it's going to happen, because that's exactly what's going on for the Eagles right now. Eagles have 42 players on their team that play that came from Georgia. And only Jordan Davis was starting last night from all the Georgia people. The Eagles had two people from Middle Tennessee State University on their starting defense when they have all of the Georgia people from the last couple of years. The Cowboys have a little bit of a run right now where they just went Commanders, turns out not a good team. Then Seahawks played them well. Then they just pumped the Eagles, Bills, Dolphins, Lions. We're about to find out on the Cowboys.
Dolphins will be interesting overall, to me. You know, I feel like Bills, Cowboys will be a little bit of a street fight. And the thing with the Dolphins is I think they're just so fast that you can either play with them and like take away, be physical with them, or you will get overwhelmed by them. There's no two ways about it.
Cowboys defense, good. Cowboys offense, able to score, especially probably on the Dolphins defense. This is going to be a couple of really, really good games out of the Cowboys. We will, hopefully, we will see what happens because they've got Bills, Dolphins, Lions next, and hopefully the Lions right the ship before then. But we're going to find out about these Cowboys, your Cowboys. Do you want to jump on them? Huh? Just really?
I don't know that I do. I don't like Mike McCarthy, but I do like the more I like when the Cowboys are good. You know, I like when like institutional teams are good. I also like that we're going to get like, you know, interview commentary reps from Jerry Jones when it matters, because that's always a good thing when you get to go to that. Well, I just feel like if the Niners are healthy, which should be the title of the season, you know, depending on whatever way it goes, I think they are like the early 2000s Hurricanes, Miami Hurricanes, which is like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter what you have. They're going to kill you. They're just going to murder and annihilate you. So I think that'll be the thing. I'm going to cut, you know, originally I was going to cut the Shohei Ohtani contract just because.
My goodness.
It's $700 million over 10 years. It's $70 million. Get paid. I'm so happy for him. Make sure that check clears. And it's not even these athletes making too much money. I just think, can he provide that kind of value to you over the course of that contract? And does it matter for the Dodgers? I don't think it matters. I'm not cutting that, actually. I'm actually going to cut you. I'm cutting you, Jason. And it's because I can already see the future. They announced, I think last week, that Notre Dame's going to be doing like a Hard Knocks show on Peacock. And I know my destiny is to recap that episode by episode with you. And I wasn't ready to commit to something like that, but it is what it is. Friendship is important. So I guess that's what we're doing, you know?
What if it's good?
What if it's great?
What if it's great?
What if Riley Leonard is like the new Bill Hader? And I'd be like, this guy's got jokes. This guy's great. Like, I love all this. I'm into it.
Everyone in the country is about to love Marcus Freeman. Now, I am a little bit nervous that Marcus Freeman already knows where the camera is. And I think that when there's more purposeful cameras there, I think he might know where the cameras are even more.
He's a little bit more subtle JJ Watt, you know? They both know where the camera is.
Thank you.
Marcus has a little bit more elegance about it. JJ does not, unfortunately. Can we get JJ? Have we done this before? I feel like maybe I hallucinated this. Why is he still like, and also here, JJ Watt on the CBS like pregame show? They're like, here's Bill Cowher, Phil Sims, Phil Simsiasen, Boomer Sims, Boomer Simsiasen, some other guy. Here's Howie Long.
Nate Burleson.
Bill Cowher again. We cloned him. And in a little baby role, JJ Watt. It's just like, let the man be on the show or let him not be on the show. I don't understand what's going on here. I want them to make a hire of like, I don't know, just dropped this week. Andy Milonakis is coaching DBs on Notre Dame this year, just because I feel like we need a little razzle dazzle on the show. You know, we need like a showman, like a Pat McAfee kind of deal.
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think who would that even be? Like a Guy Fieri when he showed up when the Hard Knocks was doing the Raiders, and he's a huge Raiders fan.
Oh, here's an idea. You ready for this? Let's get Lou Holtz back in the building. And all he does, to Lou Holtz, like, Lou, what do you think about this Michigan matchup? He's like, I can't even do a Lou Holtz. I won't even try. But all he does is talk about Ryan Day.
Hold on. Oh man, I thought you were going to try.
No, there's no way. That feels so disrespectful. I don't know.
The entire Notre Dame's Hard Knocks is just like, hopefully we don't see Lou Holtz doing something that makes us think less of Lou Holtz. And also hopefully we have no references to Urban Meyer. Yeah. And Urban Meyer potentially being the next coach here. Those are the two things that I think don't need to happen. I'm in for Lou on the show, but
maybe just like Steve Spurrier, offensive consultant. And once an episode, Marcus and Steve are just talking shop, you know? And I feel like just the strays from Spurrier will be good enough to like carry the entertainment.
Did you ever watch Murderville on Netflix? The Will Arnett show where they would bring in a guest detective?
Look, I should have. I appreciate it for what it is. I had like a really big Will Arnett allergy at that point, so I just didn't. And that's my fault.
Go back because at least watch the
I watched Marshawn's episode and that was
okay. Yeah. That was incredible. And then I can't remember her name. Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek. Hers was really, really good too, because she could not keep it together and she was trying, so that was fun. But let's have a guest coach every episode.
That's incredible.
Lou Holtz one episode and like they just have to keep reminding him it's not Ohio State week. We're not playing Ohio State this week. We're not even playing this season. And it's like, we're playing Miami of Ohio. Okay, but they're red and they're from Ohio. So here's what we're going
to
do.
Can I just say, credit to me, because while you were talking the whole time, all I wanted to do was try a Lou Holtz impersonation.
I tried it a little bit.
I know, I could see old Southern man
as opposed to I'm not going to attempt the main part.
You're on the cliff of do I do the lisp or do I not do the lisp?
I'm not doing it.
And I don't feel like that's one you just decide to hike to one day. To bring it back full circle, you want to set that trip up. You know, you really want to plan it.
Where did Mark May play college ball? Do you know?
Maryland?
Pittsburgh. Dang.
Okay.
No, Notre Dame could definitely play Pittsburgh. Are they still in the ACC? I don't know anything about the ACC. Anymore. It's the next conference. Just disappear. All right. So that week, all right, they bring in Lou Holtz. And then all he talks about, he does all the same Ryan Day stuff, but against Mark May.
I'm so mad. It's right there in front of us the whole time. It's Coach O. Coach O's helping out. Special assistant coach Joe.
All season though. He's an adjunct coach.
He's like, Marcus, what's about this touchdown Jesus fella? Can we shoot him up? What are we thinking?
I love it. I would pay so much money to watch that. I would like Peacock's like, you get it for free. I'm like, no, here's $20 every episode. That's how much I believe in Coach Joe. Please.
I didn't know we were gonna talk about this, so I just want you to know that I think that it is going to be ruder of you to not recap every episode with me than because you're the one that brought this up and you're the one that said it, than it was that you still haven't watched Drive to Survive.
It just feels like so much.
Because that was a blatant promise.
Like so much. I think we still need to come up with a bet where either you're watching Outlander by yourself or I'm watching Drive to Survive. I want to commit to that. No. We got to figure that out, you know? Okay, we'll touch base more on that, and we'll figure out some bets and some specifics and the airing schedule of Notre Dame on Peacock. But as always, I'm Knox Heath, Jason. We'll see you next
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.